35 years ago, someone shared Jesus with me. And it changed my life. Jesus changed my life. And now I give Jesus away to everyone I can, because I guarantee you take Jesus, listen to me, you take Jesus, he changes your life. Someone else say amen. Oh yeah, come on, come on. You're going to get blessed today because, just because you are, and because you're here, and I have a bold word today. I hope it doesn't get censored or something, but it's a bold word, but it's a loving word. And we're going to navigate ahead and just let Jesus do what Jesus wants to do. Again, somebody say amen. Now, Christmas banquet? Christmas banquet? We're going to be talking about that today. Yeah. I have a question. I know that in the office we've talked about this many, many times as we've navigated with Christmas and with the season. And so this is my question to you. How many banquets would you normally have, normally, in a normal year, how many banquets would you have in this season? 3, 8, 30, 75? I guess the better question to ask is how many banquets have been canceled or postponed this year because of COVID? 3, 8, 15, 30? Lots. Now, most people's complaint, mostly in December, is that there's too many get-togethers. And for all those non-social introvert types, there's actually meds for that now for the introverts. Anyway, I'm loving them more and more every day. I'll never understand them, but you know what? I love them. Right, Tammy? Okay. Now, but hear me today. Oftentimes people, even the extroverts, will say, oh, the get-togethers, the banquets, the parties, the obligations with work and church and family and extended family and friends, and oh my goodness, it's just too much. Yeah, exactly. Now, as I've said for months, we're drilling for the positives in this season. And one of the great positives of this season is we might never, ever complain about social gatherings and the amount of them ever again. Oh yeah, give the Lord some hand. Give the Lord some clap. And today, this is not only the day that Jesus made, and not only are we going to rejoice and be glad in it, but today we are going to have a Christmas banquet. Hallelujah! Oh, glory. And it is compliant to COVID protocol. And listen to me, it's also my prayer that this is one of the most significant banquets you've ever had in your life, that you'll remember it for years to come. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the importance of ceremony. Do you remember that? Did you watch it online, and did you see that? And welcome everyone that are watching online. I want to see today that there's 400 hits. I want to see that. I was just going to say, why so small, Pastor? Why so small? What is that faith? 1,000 hits. 2,000, anyone? 2,000. I got 2,000 over here now. 3. 3, and I'm going to 3.5, and I'm going to 3.5 now. 4. Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay, got to get back to the word here. Talked about the importance of ceremony. And Terry Bone, oh my, do we love Terry Bone, and a great treasure for us. He talked about the threefold cord of blessing. He said, words say it, deeds show it, and ceremony, listen to me, seals it. Whew. And this goes for church ceremonies as well. Many of them, like I said a few weeks ago, are called church ordinances. Believers' baptism, water baptism, full submersion, baby dedications, which we had a couple of weeks ago, and it was wonderful. And see, like a couple of weeks ago, the message was not an appendage, or the baby dedication wasn't an appendage to our message. It was the message. We talked about the power of this ceremony, of that ceremony. Today, everyone say today. Today. It's the message again. Another ordinance, another celebration. It's the celebration of communion. And communion is the message. Now, are you ready? You guessed it. You guessed it. We're going to use our imagination station. And the Spirit of God is going to come in power and do something incredible. And you got it. This year's Christmas banquet, the Emerge Church Christmas banquet today, is our communion. Praise the name of Jesus. It's actually been brought to you by and sponsored by Weight Watchers this year. And I need the ping. But my prayer is that you get emotionally and spiritually stuffed and blessed. I'm telling you, church, one's here. And get your watching online, get your communion elements ready, because you're going to get blessed today. You're going to get blessed. Now, we've got these high-tech new elements, but Jesus is going to do something incredible. Now, I'm also praying, call me crazy, but I'm also praying that we're going to get physically full because of a miracle. Come on, is Jesus a miracle worker or is he not? Is he do things in the supernatural or not? And my prayer is that little wafer the size of a dime is going to expand in us, and it'll be like a big turkey dinner with gravy and stuffing and potatoes and cranberries and carrots and apple pie and cherry pie and ice cream. Oh, somebody get me some food. It's going to be awesome. Now, listen to me. As we launch Advent this year, Tammy and I in our talks have been doing something very, very different. Well, we didn't do it ever before. We didn't do it a year ago. But we are, this is a free plug for the TNT on YouTube, and I think on Facebook as well. We're having a lot of fun. It's only about 8 or 10 minutes each week. And it's a banter. It's a devotion. It's like, Ryan and Kelly. Shooting the breeze, talking, but you know what? We're talking about life. We're talking about life. We're not talking about just celebrities and stuff. We're talking about life. And it's been a 4-week series, an Advent series, and we've been talking about the power of hope, peace, joy, and love. So if you haven't seen it yet, watch it. We've gone through hope and peace, and it's been a lot of fun. And then we're going to talk about joy, and ultimately, finally, we're going to talk about God's rich, incredible love for God. So, love the world that he gave his son. Whew. And in Advent season, our focus this morning is on the birth of Christ. But not just in the birth of Christ, but also what his coming accomplished. You got to get that today. What his coming accomplished. And can I be so bold to say his coming accomplished everything. Everything. This morning is going to be a dinner like none other. Now, the story takes us back, and if you want to look at it, it's in Luke 22, which is, of course, you saw, which was the passage for this morning. The story takes us back to when Jesus, nearing the very end of his ministry on earth, he had, as the Bible says, made preparations to have the last Passover. Oh, Allison, you're going to like this today. Hallelujah. The last Passover supper with his disciples. And this was in the week-long festivities of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That was a Jewish tradition. It was a Jewish celebration. And again, celebration seals the blessing. Now, get this. Well, everyone's listening. This is incredible. The Jewish disciples, they were all Jews, the 12. probably thought this was like all the Passover celebrations of years past. See, they had been having Passover celebrations for well over 1,000 years, maybe even 12 or 1,300 years. Every year, annually, Passover celebrations. They thought it was probably like the two previous ones that they had had with Jesus. A somber time to reflect on what God did for the Jews that many years ago. But oh, let's not fool ourselves. They probably knew it would be a great time to enjoy Jesus and enjoy each other and enjoy a nice meal. Reclining at the diner, at the dinner table, enjoying lox and bagels. That's a Jewish thing. You got to just laugh. Just pretend you're laughing. Okay, thank you. But this would be like no other Passover meal that they had ever witnessed. They never dreamed that this would be the last time that they would have supper with Jesus before he would be executed. This is the last time that they would have a meal with Jesus before he was executed. You could say that this was the big one. The big one. Now, stay with me. This is very vitally important. And you watching online, get your coffee after this, especially live. Get your coffee after. All three synoptic, I practiced that 12 times, synoptic gospels all mention the Last Supper, Matthew, Luke, Mark, and Luke. But we are going to look today at Luke's account. And it's Luke 22. So if you want to look there, I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to look at one verse in particular. But if it's verse 7 all the way through to 16 is what we're looking at right now. So Luke 22, 7 to 16. I'm reading from the New Living. But whatever version you have, it'll be very, very similar. Now, watch this. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, "Go and prepare a Passover meal so we can eat together." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. He replied, "As soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you." How would he know that? "Follow him. The house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?'" I was struck by that this week as I prepared this message. He had to have a borrowed room. There was no church. He couldn't go to his church. He couldn't go to his boardroom. He couldn't go to his fancy lounge at the church. Everything he does was in borrowed space. He had to rent a room. He had to set preparation and organize that in borrowed space. They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. Everything was just like Jesus said. You know why? Because Jesus foreknew all things. See, being God, he can do that. He knows all things. He knows exactly what's going to happen, past, present, and future. And obviously, he had that, he was God. It wasn't just a word of knowledge. It was revelation. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, and here's what I want you to look at today. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins." Jesus knew what was going on. The disciples were lost. They were empty words. "What are you talking about, Jesus? Suffering? What?" In fact, Peter, you know the story where he actually rebuked Jesus and said, "Ah, that's noise. Stop that foolishness, Jesus. You're not going to die. The enemy doesn't like that. The enemy doesn't like that Jesus died and rose from the grave. Somebody say amen. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And that's verse 16. Now, a few things that can mean. One is that I won't eat again until I've accomplished the work. I won't eat again until it's done. Where he said on the cross, it's done. And he went to hell and he took the keys and he got them back. And he made a way for us. And the kingdom of God was revealed. The kingdom of God came alive because Jesus did the work. Oh, somebody say amen. I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. Now, why? 10,000 times, why? What's he talking about? I'm going to tell you. He knew what it meant. He knew how significant and life-altering this meal and the next 48, 72 hours would be. Yes, I know it's an Easter message, but bear with me. It's what Jesus did. Someday his disciples would know, and someday all disciples of all time would know. And that's us. Oh, come on. In fact, someone watching online or someone in this room right now is going to go, I didn't understand that at all. I didn't understand the significance at all. I didn't realize this is so huge. And today is the day. The penny's going to drop. Revelation is going to come. Its timing was like nothing else because Jesus' timing is perfect. That dinner, which we call the Last Supper, which was the night before he was executed, was actually in the week the Jews would normally celebrate the tradition of Passover. It was the Passover week. They were celebrating. It was the tradition of Passover. And here it is. Put your seatbelt on. Here it is. See, Jesus knew what it meant. Jesus knew he was about to be the fulfillment of the Passover. He would accomplish the great and glorious work. He would be the Passover lamb, the ultimate Passover lamb. You got to get this today because this is so important. See, the Passover in the Old Testament, like so many elements in the Old Testament, are a type or a shadow of the spiritual application in the New Testament. And I would say, could I be so bold to say that Passover is probably the most glorious of all the types, Old Testament, New Testament. You say, what do you mean by a type? See, what was in the physical in the Old Testament, Jesus fulfilled in his person in the New Testament. Let me give you an example. In the Old Testament, there was manna, bread, like a food product that was actually rained down from heaven, and it would feed the Jewish people as they were in the desert for 40 years. They sucked on manna. Can you imagine just eating manna? You know why they complained? No banquets. But it was a substance. It was a food. It was a nourishment for the people. And that's why Jesus said, now I am the bread of life. I am the fulfillment. I am the nutrients. I am your food. I am your substance now. All the people of the Old Testament, Adam, Noah, Jonah, Moses, all types of Jesus in the Old Testament, a portion, a shadow of the glorious things that Jesus would do. And lastly, the ark. The ark was a type of Christ. The boat, the vessel that would be the safety in the storm of life. Whew. the vessel would be the safety. Come to the ark, all who are weary and heavy laden, and you'll be safe. Just like Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. He was the ark. He was the fulfillment of the ark. In the same way, he was the Passover. Now, this is cool. I'm taking excerpts from the entire chapter of Exodus 12. So you probably can't read along, but I think I've left the verses in. And I've just kind of done a summary of Exodus 12 because it is the story of the original Exodus. As you see, it says, the original Exodus, or the original Passover, has now been commemorated by the Jewish people for well over 1,000, 1,200, 1,300 years until Christ. So by the time Jesus came, by the time Jesus had that Passover supper, the Jews had celebrated the Passover for centuries. But he was the fulfillment. He was the, that was a type. He was the fulfillment. Now, God had devised a plan to protect his people, the Jewish people, way back in the Old Testament. And his people, he was protecting them from a pervading enemy, Pharaoh, an evil king, and his people, the Egyptians. See, God's people were slaves and horrifically abused by Pharaoh for years. The Bible says that he's heard the cries of his people. He's heard the wails and the agony of his people. And he finally said, cover your ears, enough! No more! I will show my wonder. I will show that I am alive, says the Lord. And my people will be spared from death and harm. I read this for you. Exodus 12. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. Each family, I'm taking numerous verses and I'm slicing them together, so it's not going to be where you can just read along with me. It's the whole chapter. Each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal per household. But if a family is too small to eat the whole animal, then let them share with another family in the neighborhood. And I exclusively left that verse in there because of the power of community. That God wants to see the power of community. And don't you think it's interesting that community and friendship and neighborhoodness and love amongst neighbors is right now taken from us? Don't you find that funny? Share with a neighbor because be neighborly. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. I've looked in the Word. It doesn't say snitch on your neighbor. It says love your neighbor. Did I just say that? Sorry. The animal you select, listen to me, must be a year old male, either sheep or goat, with no defects. Watch the type language, no defects. Jesus without defect. Jesus perfect. No error, no sin. Jesus the radiant, living one. Oh, watch the type language. Take special care with this chosen animal. Hear me? With this chosen animal. Just like the chosen was one of Israel. Until the evening of the 14th day of this month, then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter the lamb. must slaughter the lamb. Are you seeing the parallel? Now, here it is. They are to take some of the blood of this animal and smear it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. Verse 12. On that night I will pass through the land of Egypt, the Master, the Living One. I will pass over the land of Egypt, and I will execute judgment against all, including the gods of Egypt, the idols, the foolishness, the gods of this world. I will perform judgment. I will eradicate. Because I am the Lord. Verse 13. Listen. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the house where you're staying. And God says, I will see the blood and I will pass over you. Passover. That's what it means. I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. Because of the blood, I will pass over you. Now, the doorposts, the doors. Isn't that interesting? The symbolism. The gate, the entry point into your heart, the entry point into your life, the entry point into your family, the entry point into your house needs the blood. Come on. Verse 14, this is the day to remember, each one from generation to generation. Celebrate it. Live it. Talk about it. You must celebrate it as a special festival of the Lord. For this is the law of all time. And what the law of all time is the fulfillment that Christ did. On the first day of the festival and begin until the seventh, all the people must observe the official day of the Holy Assembly, celebrate this festival of unleavened bread. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing with his disciples. For it will remind you. That's what ceremonies do. They remind you. That I brought you out. The forces, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. It will remind you that I brought you out. Then the children will ask. I love this part too because it denotes the family. It talks about the family altar. It talks about sitting around the couch with the fireplace, drinking hot cocoa. Fireplace going. Soft Christmas music. Little Lauren Daigle there on the, that you're listening to. And it says, your children will ask, what does the ceremony mean, Mommy, Daddy? And you will reply, it's the Passover sacrifice of the Lamb. For he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt. And though he struck the Egyptians, he spared our families. Do you know where I'm going today? When Moses had finished speaking, all the people bowed down to the ground and they worshiped the Lord. So the people of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded through Moses and Aaron. I can start to have the worship team back, please, as we wrap this up today. What we're going to do is we're going to have our banquet, we're going to have our feast, and then I'm going to finish with some thoughts, and you're going to leave full. You're going to leave full. Now we're going to talk about the rest of the story. Let's connect the dots. Jesus was that perfect Passover lamb without defect, who would protect all who come to him, but not for a night. Not for an evening and a night, but would protect his people forever. Somebody say hallelujah. He would protect his people forever. That's what the Bible says, is that Jesus is a better way than the Old Testament law. It's a better way. It's the perfect way. Aren't you glad that you're under the covenant of the protection of Jesus forever? Fast forward to the Last Supper, if I could have the team come. What we're going to do is the last, same as the last time. We're going to stand in four, two here. Each will take a tray. Hallelujah, Lamb, 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 Lamb. Hallelujah, Lamb, Lamb, Lamb. Hallelujah, Lamb, Lamb.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, Lamb, Lamb, Lamb.
Now, listen to me, church. I need you to ask Jesus to help you today. I need you to ask Jesus to help you. That this is going to be like no other communion. Say, Jesus, I'm asking for you to give me a download of this revelation. Stand with me, church, and come and receive your emblems and come back to your chair.
Hallelujah, Lamb, 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 Lamb. Hallelujah, Lamb. Thank you, Lamb. Thank you, Lamb. Oh, you're a mighty God. You're a mighty God. You are the Lamb, Lamb. Oh, the living Lamb.
Yes, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is the answer for the world. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one will come to the Father except through me. I'm the gate, I'm the door. Again, types. I'm it. And again, as we navigate with our little elements, try to find the opening and peel off the top. just the top. Like I said, you need your master's degree to figure this thing out. So just pull off the top and hold the biscuit. Just the top. Just the biscuit. The juice should remain sealed. Now, I want to break some lies today. Communion, this celebration, is for the body of Christ. If you know Jesus, then this is significant. If you know Jesus, then this is, well, it's celebration that seals what he did. If you haven't accepted Christ, if you're not a follower of Jesus, then it's just religious tradition. Again, like every month, I would pray. My prayer would be that you would pass over from empty tradition into life and take Jesus, and now this becomes real. Now, the Bible does say if you've had a tough week and you've done a lot of bad things, it says do inventory in your heart and ask Jesus to wash and cleanse you. Do inventory. Is there someone that you have odds with? Is there someone that you have issues of unforgiveness with? Is there a habitual sin that you want to get free from? Ask Jesus again and again and again and again and again and again. And the more the closer you get to Jesus, listen to me, the closer you get to Jesus, the more he reveals the stains. And you keep going to him and you keep getting more pure. Like you're perfect. At the moment you come to Christ, you're perfect because of the blood of Jesus. And then this is washing the feet. This is dusting the always asking Jesus to forgive. Saw something I shouldn't have. Said something I shouldn't have. Did something I shouldn't have. In your own heart of hearts, just say, Jesus, let your blood come and wash that.
Hallelujah, Lamb. Oh, yeah.
Jesus, right now, come. Come, Holy Spirit, and do a work. Do inventory, church, inside. Stay clean before him. Stay clean. Don't be dirty. Stay clean. You are under the eternal blood of Jesus, keeping you perfect in him. And Jesus wants you daily. Isn't that what it says? When you pray daily, forgive me my trespasses. Forgive me my sins as I trespass against you, Lord. Daily. Stay clean. Keep your feet washed. And then in Luke, in the latter part of Luke 22, it says, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and gave it to them and said, this is my body. You don't understand yet, fellas, but tomorrow I'm going to be mutilated. I'm going to be slaughtered. I'm going to be destroyed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. Remember, I'm praying in Jesus' name that you be blessed spiritually and emotionally. And this thing expands in your stomach and you get stuffed full. You won't even need lunch. You won't need supper. In fact, you'll never need to eat again, ever. Best part of the message is still to come, so bear with me. I know you're saying, I can't believe it could get any better, but it's going to get even better. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a brand new covenant of my blood. the blood that makes judgment pass over. That makes judgment pass over. The blood that cleanses from all unrighteousness. It's poured out for you today. Let's celebrate, let's commemorate it today together. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated just for a moment. If you can put my PowerPoint back, please. I'm going to close with this. The blood of Jesus is now the only thing that can permanently save, heal, and protect. Did you hear that this morning? The blood of Jesus is now the only thing that can permanently save, heal, and protect. Now, okay, that's great. Okay, so how does that apply to me in this Advent season, the early part of December in 2020, in the midst of COVID-19. Ugh. And how do I make this a feast? How do I make this the meat of the word? See, Paul said, you know what? You're like children. You're still wanting milk, pablum. I want you to grow up. I want you to grow, and I want you to take the meat of the word. Be transformed by the meat of maturity. Number one, just like the type we have learned today, we have an enemy. Our enemy is not Pharaoh, is not Egypt, that the Jewish people were harassed by. Our enemy today, listen to me, is the devil and the spirit of the Antichrist that's all over this earth right now, wreaking havoc, throwing people into panic and confusion. Listen to me. But greater is Jesus than he that's in the world. Receive that today, church. Receive that today. Number two, God has a plan. Somebody say, God has a plan. He's always had a plan. He's got a plan now, just like he had a plan that day, where he was going to free his Jewish people some 3,500 years ago. He's got a plan today because of the finished work of the cross. See, he had a plan to extricate the Jewish people from harm. Come on, see the parallel language, see the type language. He had a plan to extricate the Jewish people from harm in the same way he has a plan for us. His plan was ultimately accomplished on the cross some 2,000 years ago. And he destroyed death, hell, and the grave. He destroyed death, hell, and the grave. We can live in victory. We can live in joy. We can live in prosperity. We can live in hope. That's the good news. Oh, tell it on the mountain. Oh, tell it on the mountain. That Jesus Christ has made a way. He also has a specific plan for us in December 2020. Always has a plan for us. And I'm asking you to do something today, church, those that are here and those that are watching online. This message I need you to spread like good news. I need you to give this away because people need to hear this message. Give this away. Tell 30 or 40 of your best friends to watch this thing online because they need to get this good news. I'm almost done. Number three. Now we can start shouting hallelujah. God has afforded us protection. Listen to me, church. God has afforded us protection
but not for a night. Not for 9 months or 10 months in the midst of COVID. God has afforded us protection from now till forever. 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 God has afforded us protection. Receive it today. If you're a blood-washed child of God, receive it today. It's not with sheep and goats, but it's from the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God has already apportioned and appropriated and accomplished us protection. Now we just got to grab a hold of it. And I'm speaking to Christians today. I'm speaking to blood-washed followers of Christ right now. You've got to appropriate this power and this protection. Daily. It's not by just accepting Christ sometime 5, 10, 30, 50 years ago and then trying your best and getting a free ticket to heaven and then live like the world. Did I just say that? And then just live like the world? Panicky like the world? Afraid like the world? Lost and distressed and confused like the world? That's not how we live. That's not how we live. We appropriate it. See, newsflash, it ain't working for the world. It ain't working for the world. So why would we want to be like the world? We walk higher. We talk brighter. We live larger as blood-washed children of God. And we appropriate all the protection afforded us from the cross. I'm going to get myself in trouble with this, but I don't care. And listen to my heart. Listen to my heart. I am wearing a mask because I'm submitting to the government. The Bible says submit to the government. Honor your government. Submit to your government. And I will do that. Because it's okay. If it helps somebody feel more protected, then that's great and that's life. But I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. Somebody say amen. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. I'm not protected by the snags and the trappings of this world, by the voice of a government or anything else. I'm protected and kept by the blood of Jesus. Somebody shout. Somebody shout. Somebody shout. I will comply to wearing a mask, and I will do it with joy. But if a government tells me to renounce Christ, then take my life. I don't care. I'm not doing that. If someone says you got to renounce Christ and you can't go to church anymore and you can't worship Jesus anymore, well, I'm not going to submit to that. Take my life. I don't care. Take my life. I don't care. Don't be afraid of those that can take your body. Be afraid of the one who is in charge of the universe. Nobody is going to stop me from loving my King. Nobody is going to stop me from adoring my Master. Somebody get happy about Jesus. And if you're watching me online, listen to me. Listen to me. For those that say, oh, I'm not going because he's just given in to all the fear-mongering. Trust me, I ain't giving in to all the fear-mongering. I'm giving in to submission and honor. That's biblical. So I want people to start coming back to church. Wear your mask and be happy. Come on. Be happy in Jesus. The longer you access the power of the blood of Jesus in your life, the longer you will and the more you'll be protected by Him. Stand with me, church. Let's start shouting hallelujah. The longer you walk and appropriate the blood of Jesus, the longer you appropriate the blood of Jesus, you're going to know the protection of Jesus. You're going to walk in victory. You're going to love those that are fearful. You're going to love those that are fearful. You're not going to stop being brave and courageous, though. You're going to love the fearful, but you're not going to stop being brave and courageous, because the Bible says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Oh, preach myself happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Jesus. Receive it today. Receive it. Oh, behold the Lamb of God. Oh, alive again. You did it all, Lord. Oh, come on. Come on, get some power today. Get some victory today. Get some peace today. Oh, 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 oh. The cross come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Sha. Jesus, we give you glory today. We give you glory today. You have been, and you forevermore will be the answer and the remedy and the life. We give you glory, Jesus. Someone today has crossed over from death onto life. I got to lead someone to Jesus this week. Come on! And Brad, yeah, lots of people. We're going to have to go to 5 services. Because people are crossing over from death onto life. People are crossing over from death onto life. You know why? Because there ain't no remedy in the world. You could watch the news 76 hours a day, and it's not going to give you power and protection and hope. You know who's going to give you power, protection, and hope? His name is Jesus. So, Father, bless your people. And Lord, now that I have to resign and quit because of what I've said today, Jesus, we just thank you for, I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I ain't ashamed of the gospel. I ain't ashamed of the gospel. Bless everyone today, Lord. We pray in Jesus' eternal name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you today.